That is the poster child of anticipation right there. And I'm convinced that God wants us to have that sort of anticipation, knowing that the Lord is going to return. Let's talk about one Christmas closer to Christmas. Our kids have a ferocious anticipation for Christmas. It's like Charlie Brown, and I've got a list of things here. It's like Charlie Brown asking the meaning of Christmas and then being absolutely riveted to Linus's explanation, right? He can't take his eyes off of him. It's the smell of cookies baking. It's the dreams of wishes being fulfilled. It's all of these things wrapped together and then combined with the intensity of the ice princess's wolves tracking the wardrobe kids through Narnia. It's all of this together. Every little bit of Christmas nostalgia contributes to a building sense of expectation and anticipation for Christmas. It's no wonder we contribute to it as well. Our kids learn about Advent either in a church service, if we light the candles, or maybe at home, or maybe in Sunday school, 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, hope, peace, joy, love. And all of that keeps track of time, doesn't it, for kids? At our house, over the years, we've had a Christmas tree. It's a simple Christmas tree with hearts for each day of December. And so every day in December, adding a heart to that Christmas tree, just noting a day closer, a day closer, a day closer. This year, we took down the wall, so there's no place to hang the tree. We still know Christmas is coming. When our kids were young, we read a series of books, one each Christmas, beginning with Jotham's Journey. And if you are a parent or a grandparent who reads to your kids, grandkids, these are absolutely gems. These will keep you, you will put the kids to sleep and then you'll sneak off and read ahead. It's that kind of good, gripping story. So I would strongly encourage you to check those out. Mom and Dad take mysterious trips out to make preparations for the day. All of these things just lead to this growing sense of expectation and anticipation for Christmas. Our kids have this ferocious anticipation for Christmas, and as Jesus taught us, the rest of us ought to take our cues from them. It shouldn't be that we grow older and we say, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? They still feel that way. No, it's we who should be watching them, learning from them, studying what it means to have anticipation and expectation, study what it means to let joy grow in you and not pack it down with our reasonableness. We should be learning from the children about the kingdom of God. Now, of course, our anticipation ought to go beyond the day of Christmas. Our anticipation should be bigger than anticipating that day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. The decorations, the culinary delights, the debt come and hopefully go, right? Hopefully go, all of those things pass. Our longing should gaze beyond this day to that day, the day that Isaiah prophesied about in 35 that Ben read, and 9 that Brian read, that day. That day, and in that sense, I wanted to remind you this year that when Christmas comes, in a little over a week, we're one Christmas closer. We are one Christmas closer to Jesus. That is, the annual Christmas celebration that wraps up the year should signal that we're one year closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But here's my question this morning. In what manner shall we wait? For those of us who are waiting and do anticipate and do have expectation, what manner shall we wait? Carolyn and I were in Costco yesterday. I may be mistaken about this, but I think it was also the day before and the day before and the day... It couldn't... Could it be that... No. Anyway, we were there yesterday, and a cute young couple caught my eye, and they were kind of coming towards us in the big aisle, and so we passed like this, and as they passed, she was kind of leading him by the hand. I mean, they were young, they were cute, not just holding, but she was kind of, you know, he was a little bit behind, and she's kind of tugging him along by the hand, and I overhear him, and he says to her, "Well, I didn't know it was going to be a tour of the whole store." Yeah, that's one way to wait, right? That's the protesting sort of wait, a protested wait. We've all waited in some line for a bus or a ticket or a clerk at the DMV. That's a deterministic wait. That's a like, well, what can I do? Here I stand. A deterministic, it's a passive wait. God's word seems to incline us towards an active, productive wait. An active, productive wait for the return of Jesus. So I want to give you a brief tour of four passages as we consider the manner of our waiting. We're getting closer, but we're waiting. What should be the manner of our waiting? Now, we're going to go through four passages, and those of you who are working off a mental timeline of prophecy might have questions about the timing of the revelation of Jesus that is being referred to. That's good. That's good observation. I believe that there are two returns ahead of us, and one reason is because the return of Jesus is described differently in different passages. So I believe we're talking about two appearances of Jesus. I've got a chart here. I think we got that up. Yeah. So one is often referred to as the rapture, and one is referred to as the second advent. And just let your eyes fall over those. With the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air, while at the second advent, believers return with the Lord to the earth. In some passages, there is an appearance of Jesus before a great period of tribulation. In many passages, there is an appearance of the Lord, indeed a return, after that period of tribulation. In some, it seems like believers are being removed as an act of deliverance. In other appearances of Jesus, the removal of unbelievers is an act of judgment on the earth. One visit from Jesus is secret and instant. The other is described in a way that says it's visible to all on the earth. One of them could take place at any moment, and the other is preceded by many other end times events. So as I read through passages in Scripture and I see these two very different appearances of Jesus Christ, I say, well, there must be two occurrences, and indeed, many have observed. One is a rapture of believers, another is a return of Jesus to the earth. So we're going to go through four passages, and I personally believe that there is a mix in these four passages. Some refer to the rapture, some to the second advent. That's not really my point this morning, all right? My point this morning is to isolate the waiting posture, okay, for each of them. Just the waiting posture that is described in each case. So let's begin in Hebrews 10:36. Jesus is coming in just a little while, so hang in there. Jesus is coming in a little while, hang in there. Hebrews 10:36 reads this way, "For you have need of endurance." There's the word. The hang in there word. You have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Now listen, oh, these words, they're so beautiful. "For yet a little while and the coming one will come." Sometimes there is not one complex word in that. And sometimes those simple lines are so beautiful to the ear that's anxious to hear them. "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay." Oh, people, that is good news. That is such good news. Years ago, when our Rachel was just a small child, she had to go to bed before the older kids in the family. She was the youngest. She had to go to bed early. And every night when she would go to bed, we would pray together. And then the inevitable question, when are my sisters coming to bed? And the inevitable answer, soon. Soon. I know you want a definite. I can't give you soon. Soon. Here, the writer of Hebrews says, yet a little while and the coming one will come. He doesn't give us a time, does he? The NIV says, in a very little while. Yet a little while conveys this idea of not defining time, but giving comfort, right? Exactly as you would as a parent. Just a little while. Are we there yet? Are we to grandma's house? Almost. In a little while. And so the writer of Hebrews conveys that same spirit to us. He's coming soon enough that you can hold out. Waiting is enduring. Waiting is enduring gets a nod from every weary heart. But here in the context of Hebrews, it's a specific kind, isn't it? He says, when you have done the will of God, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what I promised, yet in a little while the coming one will come. When you have done the will of God. The endurance is not so much general putting up with the pitfalls of life. And maybe we all, you know, in a knowing way, we nod to that idea, oh, please, Lord Jesus, come soon. I'm just tired. I'm just tired. But here in Hebrews, he says, when we've done the will of God. So there's a sense of mission built into this. A sense of mission. It's endurance, enduring, and doing what God called you to do. Wait, enduring, doing what God has called each of us to do. That's the first way we wait. Daily waiting, doing what God called us to do. Secondly, Jesus is coming suddenly, so don't get caught off guard. Here we go to Luke chapter 12. It reads this way, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. At an hour you do not expect. And you think about that for, well, yeah, that's the idea. That certainly relates to a thief coming in. The whole point is that he comes at an hour you do not expect. And the whole point is that you have to be ready when you expect and when you don't expect because you can't expect. Right? So you anticipate without being able to anticipate. You anticipate the event without anticipating the time means you have to be ready. How do you cope with any moment? Well, you remind yourself continually and you make preparations immediately. You remind yourself continually and you make preparations immediately. You see, Jesus is coming someday is a dangerous expression. Don't be the homeowner with the Ring doorbell unopened in the drawer and a smoke alarm unwrapped in the closet. Someday gives you leeway. Someday allows you to put things off. Any moment means you make preparations immediately for the very reason that you can't anticipate the time. If there are preparations that need to be made, now is the time. Now is the time. Now, and I would be remiss if I would not be very specific here. If you're a person who has thought, I envision myself at the time when I meet the Lord, whenever that is, to be one who is walking in the light of my Savior. I want to be close to Him. But for now, I am too busy. For now, there's better things that could occupy my time in this short life. For now, I want to sow my wild oats. It's a grand mistake because you're not given the luxury of a someday. If you're a person, I see familiar faces here this morning, but again, maybe someone listening in and you've said, well, yeah, I plan to trust Christ someday. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. This illustration that Jesus gives us about the thief says, the whole point is you don't know. So you make preparations immediately rather than putting them off. So we wait with no before Jesus returns to-do lists. There should be no such thing as a before I meet Jesus to-do list. You should just do it. It's one of those things you push everything aside and you do it. Don't even take time to write it down. Third, Jesus is coming to bless, so wait like you want it. Jesus is coming to bless, so wait like you want it. Here we go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Okay, that's telling us the manner or means. Here's the instruction. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the reasons, if not the reason, kids are focused on Christmas is the expectation of getting something, right? Oh, did I say kids? I mean all of us. You know, we love to get stuff. And Peter tells us, Jesus is coming, and he's bringing some. He's bringing your reward. He's bringing your reward. And he says, don't just sit and passively wait. Wait with your hope fully fixed on a reward at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. The final act, act three of your salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification. The final act, act three of your salvation, is tied to the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where it happens. It's a defining moment for you. So Peter tells us, set your hope fully. It's not so much the child who just gushes vague sugar plum fairy dreams. It's the child who wants a bike for Christmas, shops for the bike she wants, puts the picture by her bed, makes sure the parents has a copy of it, sends a letter to Santa saying she wants this bike, this model, and by the way, there's a sale at. This is the focused mind, right? This is a set your hope fully on. It's not just, I hope, I wish. It's the child who cultivates the hope by engaging the mind. So Peter says, prepared for action, sober-minded. It's prepared for action, sober-minded. The hope is steering the life in anticipation of receiving the reward from Jesus Christ at his revelation. I think, just practically speaking, this is to a large degree an exercise of elimination. In other words, we set our hope fully on the grace coming with Jesus by disregarding other hopes that compete or distract from that vision. How do you set hope fully? You say, oh, that's a distraction. Oh, no, that competes. I gotta stay here. Oh, that's getting in the way. Oh, that's going to be a direct obstacle. You know, we're just eliminating, constantly hopes that are put before us that are really mirages, things that can't satisfy, and we focus on that one. Jesus' reward coming from his hand at his revelation. That's what I want. Lastly, Jesus is coming according to the signs, so don't blink. Here we're back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Jesus speaking, he says, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. I've had a lot of great memories hunting, as Brian has as well. And I remember a specific day that relates to this. I remember it was so very cold, and I was out hunting with a good friend of mine who is an avid hunter and much more optimistic than I am. And I'm just thinking all afternoon long, this is dumb. And we were out trudging through fairly deep snow, ice, corn stalks, hunting pheasants, and we were walking for hours, and we were frozen to death. And when you do that, your hands get heavy, your gun gets heavy, your head starts to drop because you're tripping over these corn stalks, and so you're trying to walk. You're anything but ready. You're anything but ready. And then all of a sudden, there's a burst and a flurry. There's an explosion where there had only been stillness and silence. And that was your one chance all day flying over the hill. When the explosion happens, you straighten up and you raise your head. That much you can't help. It catches you and you straighten up and you raise your head. That's what I've been waiting for. That's what I missed. One shot. Now, I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. That is a technical, theological term, and it means that there are no prophecies that need to be fulfilled before the rapture. There are, in my understanding of Scripture, no prophecies waiting to be fulfilled before Jesus returns in the rapture. So personally, I don't watch the news for prophecies to be fulfilled. I don't look to news out of Israel, something has happened and that fulfills a prophecy, so now the Lord might be closer, because I believe there are none, zero, that need to happen before that rapture takes place. However, that said, my head comes up and I straighten up when I see the stage being set for events that take place immediately following the rapture, right? The world stage just keeps getting set. More and more furniture coming out of the wings that says, it's got to be soon. It's got to be soon. And your head comes up and you straighten up, because there's evidence, there's signs that we're getting closer to a culmination. Be attentive. Waiting for the next advent of our Lord is a difficult thing. Those who lived in anticipation of the incarnation, that is the first advent, those lives covered 400 years, remember, after the last prophetic word. The Old Testament canon closed, and there were 400 years before the events of the gospel. There were 700 years after the great prophecies of Isaiah. Do you remember the Gospels telling us that everyone was surprised at the birth of Jesus? You remember, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and nobody was straightened up with their heads up. Yeah, I love the part where the Magi ask where the newborn king is, and they're all like, "Yeah, king, right? Hold that. Just thought. We'll look here at the scrolls and see what." Not expecting, knew where to find answers, but no sense of expectation or anticipation. How do we avoid being like those who were surprised by the first advent? Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees replaced the heart of anticipation and longing with formalism, didn't they? Oh, it's so much easier to maintain formalism and to duplicate formalism. You can pass religion off to your kids. That's easy. It's just a discipline. You just make sure they're in the right places at the right time. Christmas, Easter, that's a good place to start. Replace anticipation. Replace longing. Replace expectation with mere formalism. Well, that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. The zealots compromised the vision of Messiah with a DIY kingdom. They went to Home Depot. We can do this. We can bring in the return. The kingdom? Got it. We'll just take over Masada, you know, and gradually we will bring the kingdom. Many others simply coped with the long wait by putting their heads down, distracting themselves by keeping them busy. Not us. At Converge Church, we are going to endure in what God has called us to do. We're going to be ready. We're going to be focused intently, and we're going to be attentive to the signs. Because yet a little while, and the coming one will come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of Christmas. It means so much. There are layers and layers and layers of our joy wrapped up in Christmas. But specifically here, we're focusing at Converge this year on the idea that every calendar Christmas takes us a whole year closer to the return of Jesus. So we're marking time. We're marking time between the first Advent and the next because we long for your appearing. All these things that we have read about, the highway of righteousness, we long for that day. A world of justice, we long for that day. And so we do pray, our dear beloved Jesus, come soon. Amen.